Thank you, Dr. Steckel. Again, my name is Chase, and I imagine most of y'all wondering why is this guy in here talking about insecticides. First and foremost, I'd like to ask everybody to pray for Dr. Greg Kruger and his lab. They actually had a death in one of their technicians that was running all my samples, so this is what I got. Just want to let y'all know. So from a glyphosate use standpoint, we know that after its adoption, it was widely spread. Everybody started using glyphosate in all crops, and around 2010, almost 100% of the crops we were spraying we're getting glyphosate on them from a post-application standpoint, and we went almost directly to a post-only control method. Since that time, however, we've had several species of weed become glyphosate resistant, and growers have had to swap to another mode of action as well as take a full management approach and use every possible tool we got in the toolbox to control glyphosate-resistant palmer. Because of glyphosate-resistant palmer, we've seen a great deal of growers, particularly in Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee, and North Carolina, swap to a glufosinate-based system, whether it be with the wide-stripe cotton, using it as an emergency application only, or going direct Glytol Liberty Link or a straight Liberty Link. Glufosinate has been shown to increase control from 9 to 19% of glyphosate-resistant pigweed when compared to glyphosate. Two post-applications of glufosinate have been shown to provide 96% control of glyphosate-resistant palmer. Single applications of glufosinate at 29 fluid ounces per acre have been shown to provide 82 to 94% control 3 weeks after treatment. Because of data like this, I mean, this is a very good tool for us to have in the toolbox. That's why we're seeing the dramatic switch we've been seeing. From a deposition aid standpoint, we do know that droplet size is the most important variable to mitigate spray drift and canopy deposition from the application site. Environmental differences, equipment design issues, and other parameters make it difficult to fully understand deposition-related issues. Many polymer-based adjuvants have been observed to reduce drift, but their full effect on actual canopy deposition is relatively unknown. There's very limited technical literature available to the related aerial performance of many of these deposition aid products. Several studies have been conducted to evaluate drift retardants and deposition aids' effects on how to mitigate spray drift. Many of these studies were conducted with ground application rigs, or they used a wind tunnel to simulate an aerial application. Most studies have focused on different polymer formulations, and very little to no information exists today comparing tank combinations of insecticides with herbicides or deposition aids and their effects on deposition into the crop canopy, deposition aids or herbicide effect on efficacy of these insecticides. With new technologies on the horizon like Xtend and Enlist, these data will become very essential to growers to maximize profitability by maximizing the amount of canopy penetration they're getting with these insecticides. So justify this project, this common practice, particularly in the Mid-South and across much of the cotton belt, that early in the season we're tank mixing herbicides and insecticides simply save money and save trips across the field. However, growers are putting a lot of deposition aids in the tank with relatively very little data to even back it up. They're just putting it in there because a sales rep or somebody else is telling them to. So there's little to no data that exists on the effect of insecticide and herbicide tank mix combinations effect on canopy deposition. Current findings primarily focus on polymer type deposition aids. There's little to no data that exists regarding the comparison of all major types of deposition aids and their effect on canopy penetration. Which one's the most effective and if they're even really needed? So the current objective of this study was to quantify differences in crop canopy penetration in cotton when using insecticides in combinations with herbicides and deposition aids. This preliminary study was located in Starkville, Mississippi at the RR4 Plant Science Research Center. Plot dimensions were 4 38-inch space rows. They were 20 feet in length, and we had 4 replications of each plot. A variety used testing was Deltapine 1321. Applications were made using a Bowen Mudmaster that was calibrated to deliver 15 gallons per acre at 3 miles per hour. It was equipped with a 4-row multi-boom. They had 110015 AIXR nozzle spaced 19 inches apart, and applications were made 18 inches above the crop canopy. 3 adjuvants were supplied by Helena Chemical Company, HM9733, which was a guar, which was a soluble powder, HM1428, which was a polymer, it was a liquid, and HM9679A, which was an oil, and it was also a liquid. The guar was put in the tank at 1.05 ounces per 10 gallons. The polymer was at 0.5% volume per volume, and the oil was at 1% volume per volume. The insecticides used in testing were Orthene-97. It's a soluble powder. It was at a rate of 0.75 pounds AI per acre. Karate was also used. It's an emulsifiable concentrate, and it was applied at a rate of 6.4 fluid ounces per acre. The insecticides went out alone or in combination with the guar, the polymer, the oil, glyphosate in the form of Roundup Power Max at a rate of 22 fluid ounces per acre, or glufosinate, which was in the form of Liberty at 29 fluid ounces per acre. We also put a red chaser dye in the tank at a rate of 0.2% volume per volume. It was very highly photodegradable, so when it was sprayed, these cards had to come out of the field relatively quickly. Now the fun part, how do you really go about doing this? We built 54 metal stands in three different sizes. For this study, I'm going to be talking about 24-inch stands in height. They had four card holders on them that were spaced equidistantly apart. So for 24 inches, there was 6 inches from the ground to the lowest most portion of the canopy, and then so on and so forth. The card holders, however, did spiral up the main beam. And once the crop met height requirements, two stands were placed in each plot. The stands were placed in row two and row three. Row two was the front stand. As you can right here in this picture, this one right here would be the number four position. It would be directly parallel with the row, directly under the crop canopy. On the back stand, the number four position will be directly perpendicular with the row, and it would be in the row middle. We changed the way the stands faced in an attempt to catch all possible penetration angles. Each card holder held a 4x4 Mylar card, which was placed at the end of each card holder at each position using a clean pair of latex gloves. Approximately 90 to 120 seconds after the application, the cards were removed. And we had to change gloves immediately. That way, if there was sweat on the gloves, we weren't affecting the deposition on the card. Cards were immediately placed in a dark container. And just for this test, we got approximately 75 man hours in just placing and removing cards and moving stands. I got 384 samples. The cards were then ran through a fluorimeter for a reflectance analysis. Treatments were compared to applications receiving no herbicide or deposition aid, and this was labeled as untreated in tank combinations. Data were analyzed using the PROC mix function in SAS 9.4, and the means were separated using Fisher's protected LSD at alpha equals 0.05. The stands were analyzed separately due to changes in the penetration angles. So as I transition into the data slides, just give me a moment to set this slide up. Along the vertical axis, we have the percent change compared to untreated. Now, the yellow bar would indicate a treatment with polymer. White would be with a guar, black would be with an oil, tan would be with Roundup, and the blue would be with Liberty. This slide is pooled over both insecticides and all positions, and this is for the back stand where the number four position would be directly in the row middle. Treatments receiving a polymer were significantly better than treatments receiving an oil, Roundup, or Liberty. The oil, Roundup, and Liberty actually had a negative impact on deposition of the insecticide when pulled across all locations, all positions. The effect, this would be for the front stand, same slide set up in a similar manner. However, everything changed. The treatments receiving Roundup as a tank combination with the insecticides had 65% more deposition than treatments that did the untreated, and they were significantly better than all their treatments in question. However, the only treatment that had a negative impact on deposition into the crop canopy were treatments that received a guar gum. We did have a three-way interaction. However, when you slice the data out and look at it position by position, the only position on both stands that had a significant impact was the fourth position. Well, here we have Orthene on your left and Karate on your right with the bar set up in a similar manner as the previous slides. Treatments receiving Orthene plus Aguar on the back stand, which we have the number four position directly in the row middle, were significantly better than all other treatments in question. When looking at Orthene alone, treatments that received an oil or Roundup actually had a negative impact on the amount of deposition we saw in the row middle. When looking at Karate, there's no statistical difference among any of those. However, a negative impact was observed when Karate was mixed with a Aguar, an oil, or Liberty. This is for the front stand, and just similar to when we looked at just the main effects, the same thing happened here. When Orthene was mixed with Roundup on the front stand, which the number four position would be directly parallel with the row and would be directly under the row middle, we had 525% more deposition than the untreated, and it was significantly better than every other treatment used in question. The only treatment that had a negative impact when looking at Orthene alone was when Orthene was mixed with Aguar. However, when we look at Karate, when Karate was mixed with Aguar, Roundup, or Liberty, we had a negative impact. The level of deposition within the crop canopy was affected by insecticide. However, this data was not shown. When pulled across all positions in all stands and all possible deposition aids and herbicides, Orthene had significantly more deposition regardless. The effect of deposition aid or herbicide on canopy penetration varied. Treatments containing the polymer product maximized deposition when evaluating the backstand and pulling across both insecticides as well as positions. Treatments containing glyphosate maximized deposition when evaluating the front stand and pulling over insecticides as well as positions. Tank combinations only had a significant effect at position four regardless of the stand. On the backstand, treatments containing Orthene plus the polymer tank combination were significantly better than all of the treatments. So on the front stand, treatments containing Orthene plus glyphosate were significantly better than all other treatments in question. Data suggests that decisions for deposition aids depending on products and its formulations. So smaller droplets would have a potential to penetrate further within the canopy due to surface area. The larger droplets would have a potential to land more so on the intended target, but not allow for more canopy penetration due to increased surface area. Potential future objectives, as I've already stated, all this, every tank mix we have is being currently ran through the wind tunnel at the University of Nebraska. I'm doing tests with herbicides and insecticides in cotton and in soybeans. The effect of tip selection on canopy deposition will also be evaluated. Comparison of all three deposition aids in an aerial application versus a ground application, and the effect of deposition aids on insecticide and herbicide efficacy in cotton and soybeans. I'd like to thank my major professor, Dr. Darren Dodds, Dr. Ames Ketchup, Dr. Greg Kruder, my fellow graduate students, my student workers, Monsanto, for funding this research, and also the Mississippi Soybean Promotion Board for funding this research. This time I'll take any questions.
Questions for the speaker?
Yes, sir. Speak up, Dr. Ken. I didn't catch the last part. The question is, how did we select these two insecticides? Dr. Angus Ketchot's on my committee, and we basically selected these two insecticides because in cotton or in soybeans, they would be the two most common being used at the timing we selected to test. We had another insecticide in this test, but it got removed from the treatment list because once you start spraying after dark, all your angles change, and Dr. Kruger felt like it would be our best scenario just to remove the other treatment because it was skewing the data. Dr. Culpepper. So the question is, if I was with a grower and talking to him and he was going to spray Roundup plus Orthene, what would I tell him to put in the tank? Based on my research right now, I wouldn't tell him to put anything in the tank because I got five times more deposition with just those two without putting a deposition aid in it. That would be money spent that you probably really didn't need, in my opinion.
Let's thank our speaker.